This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our special guest is Mary Thomas Hart. She's with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Tells us about a proposed rule from the Securities Exchange Commission might affect your operation. That in just a moment. How about Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on the four tenets of a transformed food system?
I believe there are four basic elements. Production, processing, distribution, aggregation, and market development. A transformed food system needs to be one that, through all four elements, sustainably grows and raises commodities and livestock with net zero greenhouse gas emissions, while also raising farm and rural incomes. One that builds greater resilience across the entire food supply chain, provides access to nutritious food for all, and guarantees equity of opportunity for all.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Mary Thomas Hart. Mary Thomas is Environmental Counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. Mary Thomas, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I never really thought you and I might be talking football today, but maybe it's not football and maybe it's not baseball. But it is the SEC. So when we talk SEC, we're not talking college sports, are we?
We are unfortunately not talking about the Southeastern Conference. I wish we were here to talk football. But instead, we're talking about the Securities Exchange Commission.
There is a greenhouse gas emissions rule that's proposed rule that's rolling out here. I guess the first question is, let's talk about what that rule is and then kind of tie that into how it could impact ag.
Sure. So I think it's important to start with the fact that, you know, we all identify the SEC with the Southeastern Conference because we've never been regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission before. The agricultural industry, by and large, is not subject to SEC regulation because the SEC was created to regulate publicly traded entities and to manage and enforce laws against market manipulation. So because most of the agricultural industry isn't publicly traded, we're not subject to those rules. But in recent years, shareholders for these publicly traded companies have been more and more in getting information from the supply chains of the companies for which they partly own. And the SEC has attempted to provide that information by proposing some different regulations that aim to get further down the supply chain and get information beyond those publicly traded entities. And this is just the latest example of that, but it's the first time that agricultural producers could really be implicated by a reporting requirement from the SEC. So back in March, the SEC proposed a rule that would require mandatory greenhouse gas emissions reporting from all publicly traded entities. Now that includes scope one, or direct emissions, scope two, or emissions from gas and electricity generation, and scope three, or supply chain emissions. So now when we talk about scope three emissions, we're talking about any publicly traded company that sells beef being required to submit reports on greenhouse gas emissions to the federal government from the U.S. cattle production supply chain. And that poses a few issues for cattle producers. First, you know, there is no accurate way to collect this information. The EPA has been working to develop emissions estimation methodology for years. And then secondly, you know, I think the fact that we aren't able to accurately disclose that information puts us at potential legal liability from those publicly traded companies or their shareholders.
I'm just, my mind is really racing here and just thinking, okay, if this were to go all the way through, this would be not just a huge burden maybe on the paperwork side, but could potentially be a huge financial burden for producers. I'm just assuming that's probably part of what you're taking back as you engage on this issue.
I think you're exactly right. You're hitting the nail on the head. And we've dealt with this issue before, right, in terms of CERCLA mandatory reporting or EPCRA mandatory reporting requirements. All of those, you know, are different laws with some kind of different requirements, but at the core, the issue is the same. The federal government is asking for information that isn't available and isn't easy to come up with. And so it puts an additional burden on farmers and ranchers across the country to, one, kind of do the paperwork to figure out their emissions, and then submit those reports to a publicly traded company that will then turn around and submit those reports to the federal government. And if those reports aren't accurate, then we put ourselves at liability, you know, of being sued by companies or by their shareholders. And honestly, I think, you know, when we talk about the fact that farmers and ranchers could be required to submit inaccurate information to these companies, it honestly seems like a disservice to those shareholders, because it seems irresponsible to be mandated by the federal government to provide no information that we know is inaccurate. And if I were a shareholder, I would rather have no information than incorrect information, which is what they're going to end up with.
So is it also, I'm stumbling through this because I'm still trying to wrap my arms around, you know, what's being asked and how, you know, how the SEC would want to get this information, how they want to define this information. Is it part of the story trying to explain to the regulators and to the legislators and to the others involved that ag has a great story to tell already?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to note that just like agricultural producers have never dealt with the SEC has in large part never dealt with the agricultural industry. So I think, you know, there's certainly a gap in understanding, you know, what we have available to report. On top of that, I think this is really a symptom of a larger issue about, you know, shareholders or consumers not understanding the U.S. agricultural industry and the strides that we've made in improving our environmental footprint. I think, you know, telling that story is a huge way to put shareholders at ease so that they don't feel like they need these reports, you know, submitted to the SEC. But in the meantime, I think, you know, it's important to continue engaging with the SEC. And just to kind of highlight this again, the direct reporting requirement to the federal government will not be a burden on farmers and ranchers. That is a requirement for publicly traded entities, right, for these publicly traded companies. But those publicly traded companies are going to have to get that information from the supply chain. So I think our concern is that, you know, there is going to be a significant but indirect impact to farmers and ranchers.
Obviously, this is something when somebody comes out and wants more information regarding our operation, it would be easy and probably logical for us to be upset about that. But for producers and getting involved, is part of that taking a deep breath before we do something?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have carefully, you know, read through the rule, all 500 pages of the proposed rule. And we have some concerns, and I think that they are, you know, well rooted in the text of the proposed rule. So, you know, we plan to submit technical comments to the SEC and, one, ask that they eliminate the requirement for scope supply chain reporting requirements. But if they don't feel comfortable eliminating the requirements entirely, we request that the SEC just use information that's already publicly available. You know, the USDA does life cycle assessments for beef production, for other livestock production, and gives us a pretty good idea of, you know, greenhouse gas emissions per pound of beef. And we think that would be an excellent source that and be used by these companies to show their supply chain emissions. If they weren't comfortable with that option, the EPA does a kind of 30,000-foot industry snapshot every year for their greenhouse gas emissions inventory and tells us that U.S. cattle production is only responsible for 2% of the United States' overall greenhouse gas emissions. We think that that data is also acceptable because it's already in the public domain. It wouldn't require producers to submit any additional information. And so, you know, we think that if the SEC is going to require supply chain reporting, that it be limited to information that's already publicly available. I think the last thing we want is for an agency that clearly has no authority over the agricultural industry to indirectly create a requirement for reporting new information that is really tough to gather, if not impossible.
Okay. We want to follow along with the work NCBA has done on this. Can we do some of that online?
Yes, and you can even submit comments to the SEC. You can go to policy.ncba.org and submit a comment to SEC Chairman Gensler telling him that the SEC is meant to regulate Wall Street, not Main Street, and talking about the importance of, you know, considering the needs of agricultural producers in finalizing the tool.
Again, policy.ncba.org. Mary Thomas Hart is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C., and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. This is the Agribusiness Report. What's ahead for fed cattle? Caitlin McCulloch, Director, Livestock Marketing Information Center.
I'm not very optimistic. I think the futures market is a little bit different. It's right now very close to where I have cash cattle being, but I think any weakness in that cash market, you can see some reaction from the futures market that might drive it lower, at least for a little bit. In those deferred contracts, I expect a little bit more movement. You're still at 143 on Friday for December. I wouldn't be surprised to see that move a little bit lower, especially as more macroeconomic data comes forward. Well, on the supporting side, box beef has continued to move up. I mean, maybe not as much as we'd like to see in a normal seasonal rally, but it hasn't moved down. And so we're looking at all of those factors that could help support this market from falling further, especially on the futures side. But my outlook is that I think cash prices will definitely come down here in the next, you know, 5 weeks or so. And the futures market might get tossed around a little bit more by all these other influences.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Introducing the industry's only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance. Elevate your operation with the Fendt Rogator 900 series. Explore the machine that fits for all seasons. Spring pre-plant, post-emerge short crops, and late season tall crops. Application on your own terms. And that is how you grow bold. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with that Securities Exchange Commission proposal online, policy.ncba.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The latest USDA index of farm product prices is for April, and for the most part, it shows all plus signs in front of those prices. First, the overall index of prices received by farmers up 5% in April, up 28% from April a year ago. Prices paid by farmers to do business up 1% in April, taking them 14% higher than a year ago. Quick look at some commodities. Corn prices up another 52 cents in April, taking them to an average $7.08 a bushel. That's $1.77 higher than April a year ago. Wheat prices continuing their surge, gaining 26 cents in April, up to $10.20 a bushel. That's $4.16 more than April of 2021. Soybeans, farmers in April seeing prices go up another 40 cents to $15.80 a bushel, $1.90 higher than a year ago. Livestock producers, same thing. Hogs, prices rising $1.10 during April, averaging $76.20 a hundredweight, 60 cents ahead of April last year. Beef cattle, no price increase in April, staying at $139 a hundredweight, still $21 higher than a year ago. Gary Crawford, Washington.